From the Lighthouse Chapel International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Collins Osabre will inspire you with rare teachings from the Word of God to love the Lord and to do your best for Him. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now listen to Victor Collins Osabre.
He said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. If you have your Bibles, if not, I can read it for you, no problem. Matthew chapter 16, Bible says in verse 24, then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, I'm reading verse 24 of Matthew chapter 16 again, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Christianity is based on giving up something. The Bible says that God, Jesus, was God, and he did not think it was robbery to be equal with God, but he left who he was and came down here on earth, and he lived and worked and toiled among us, and he subjected himself to the punishment and the crucifixion on the cross. And that is what has made you and I who we are today. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So the whole foundation of Christianity is based on giving up something. That is why he says that if any man will come after me, that man will have to deny himself. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you see, you cannot be a good Christian. The requirement is to give up something. If you have not given up something for Christ, you are not a Christian as yet. I said, if you have not given up something, if you have not taking something, you see, something that is precious to you, if you are not able to lay it down for the sake of God, for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the kingdom, you have not started to be a Christian as yet. What happens now in our lives and in this world now, there is things that comes our way to prevent us from giving up the things that are so dear to us. If we cannot give up some of the little frivolous things that we have in our lives, that we will never want to die for anything. This is very interesting. As we've come here, you know, we're preaching Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night, and then this afternoon. I think the other night we had a gentleman, you know, come. He was parked right there on my right in his car. And, you know, people will pass around and all of that. You don't know who they are. They are just spies. And we are not afraid of anybody. So the gentleman comes. He passed his car there, you know. And the gentleman went to him and said, oh, why not? Come sit down and enjoy the service. He says, no. I mean, after a few exchanges, then it's like he's bored. Then he drove away. So he blew his cover. I mean, why would you come here and not want to come and sit down? And then, as if it wasn't enough, if you saw there was something flying above us a little earlier. Is it because people are not used to such open declaration of their faith? I mean, it is not common that people will come in the hot sun. I mean, God has been so good to us. The sun didn't mind us at all. He gave us a good weather today, I tell you. Now, if you don't take care, that you think, oh, I'm afraid. One of the things that we are not is afraid. Afraid is not part of our vocabulary. I said that, but you see, if Jesus was able to leave who he was and came down and walked here, you see, Jesus hardly had a vehicle to drive. He was always walking around. The only time Jesus really enjoyed some comfort, if you want to call it, is when he sat on the donkey. Now, he came
The Bible says that the Bible was written for our examples. One of the things that we find it very difficult, especially as Guyanese, is to learn.
That's my opinion after living here for 12 years.
Very difficult to learn. Now, Christianity, Jesus came, he gave up. Jesus didn't marry. You think Jesus didn't have a sexual organ? So what did he use it for? You have one. What do you use it for? I'm asking you a question. I said you have something between whatever. What do you use it for? You don't just only pass water through it. So what do you think? What do you think Jesus didn't have anything? Is it even Solomon that Jesus himself created? He had 700 wives.
You see, Solomon's wives, we have 700 chairs here. Solomon's wives would have filled this whole tarmac or the chairs. That's just the wives. And then those who were on the waiting list to be married, 300 of them. Now, Jesus said it. So, Solomon, who was created by God, he took 700 and 300 on the waiting list. How much more God himself? Think about it. Like, Jesus will come around and not even want one. He gave up something. I mean, the guys will tell you, girls are nice. Lloyd, good policies. Yeah, good policies. You see, good policies walking around. Yeah. But Jesus came. And Jesus had 5,000 thousands of people following him. And I'm sure there were a lot of women also. You see, what I'm trying to tell you is that God himself, with all the access he has, with all the privileges, with all the power, he restrained himself from using and even making use of what he has. Now, you and I are the ones we are supposed to follow God. Now, as we are following Jesus, we don't want to give up anything. We don't want to give up anything. We don't want to give up our time. We don't want to give up our money. There are some people, when you bring up money right now, because they are poor, they just get vexed with you. Some people don't want to hear pastors talk about money at all. But do you know how much it costs us to be here every night and things like that? It's not free. It costs something to be here. Yeah. And even I am preaching. And I'm not being paid for preaching here on the tarmac. It's a different program. I work on Freeman Street. That's where my workplace is at. That's where I preach. I preach Sunday and Tuesday. And then I get my salary after that. My employer didn't tell me to come to Tamak to do anything. I'm saying that there are costs that are things around. You get it? And Christianity is a faith, it's a belief that encourages us to give up just like our Savior gave up his comfort. Many of us are too comfortable. Many of us are too hooked up and too connected with things out there. We are not connected to God. We can't give up anything simple for the sake of the gospel, for the kingdom of God, for the church. We cannot give up anything. If any man will come after me, he said, let him deny himself. Take up his cross. Take up his cross. Take up his cross. Jesus did not try to run away. You see, there were a few people in the Bible who didn't die. Enoch was one of them. Elijah was one of them. You don't you think Jesus could have also run away? Jesus could have easily been translated also. But he subjected himself to us. To be maltreated, to be ill-treated, to be treated in the wrong way, to be beaten, to be scorched. You see, all
something for us. The implications of his suffering was to make us better people. If you are not prepared to suffer, you are not prepared to go far in the Lord. If you are not prepared to give up anything for God, you are not prepared to do anything in this world. There's nobody who follows God who doesn't give up something. There's nothing like that. So there is this thing that fights sacrifice. When you want to do something for the Lord, you hear voices, you hear family, you hear people saying this. Why are you doing that? Why do you have to do this? Why do you have to spend money? Why do you have to spend so much time? Why do you have to go there? Why are you coming late? Why this? Why that? Why that? There's a demon that fights sacrifice in the lives of Christians. I came to tell you this afternoon that if the Savior fought and sacrificed his life for you and I, then there is nothing as right as you also giving up yourself, giving up your time, giving up the little comfort that you have for the sake of Jesus also. The Bible says the Antichrist, one of his cardinal signs is that when he is revealed in the book of Daniel, he will stop sacrificing. In Daniel chapter 8 and verse 12, the Bible says, and an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. If you go to Daniel chapter 11 and verse 31, it says, and arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. One of the signs of the Antichrist, I hope you know that one day the Antichrist is going to be revealed. There is somebody who is the agent of the devil himself with power and authority, who is going to be manifested after Christians are taken away. The Bible says that at the sound of the trumpet, when the archangel sounds the trumpet, Jesus will come and pop up in the sky, like as we can see the sky. The Bible says that those that are dead in Christ will rise first. And those Christians and those of us who are alive will be alive by then. The Bible says we shall all be changed. We shall all be translated, transformed to meet Christ in the skies. When that event takes place, then what happens is that then the people and the children of God that God is so concerned about, that God is so protective about, he has taken them out of this world. So now the door is open for the devil, who is the god of this world, to do whatever he wants to do. The Bible says the reason why the Antichrist has not been revealed is because the Holy Spirit is preventing him. It's because the people of God are still right down here. And as long as God lives, he's not going to allow the devil to have dominion over what is his and what is property and over his children and his people. But one day it's going to end. Christians are going to be taken away. And when Christians are taken away, then there's nothing here really that God is very mindful about. Then he is giving up the world unto destruction. Then the Bible says that the Antichrist will be revealed. Antichrist is a spirit. It's a spirit that fights churches, that fights pastors, that fights you, that fights me from doing what God wants us to do. Many times, we promote and we encourage people. Not just many are mad and few are roaming, but many are called, but few are chosen. You know that many are mad, but only a few are roaming? Since I heard that, I began to love it, I tell you. Many are mad, but few are roaming. So it's not everybody who is sitting down with, you know, dressed. Many people are mad and they are not walking on the road. But many a times we have encouraged people to give themselves to God, to give up their comfort zone and do something more for God. And they are fought. Many a times people come to church. Now, they'll say, yeah, a certain young lady who came to church, left church late, went home. If I wish she went home, there are some of the leaders of the church who took her home. When they got to the house, to their surprise and to their amazement, the mother came out of the house and started beating this young lady. Why? Because she has stayed out and she's been in church almost all day. It's too late. That is the spirit of Antichrist. It is a spirit that fights you from doing what God wants you to do. So the Bible says one of the main signs of the Antichrist is that when he comes, he's going to stop the sacrifice. He's going to stop the daily sacrifice. Is it raining? We are still here. He's going to stop the daily sacrifice.
I mean, I don't mind getting wet. It's okay. It's not only in the night that you wet your bed. We can also wet ourselves here. Don't you want to wet yourself and go home and say, I went to Good Friday service and I have come wet. People get drunk and they go home wet. You know. But God will give us favor. Don't worry at all. Don't be moved. You don't want to sacrifice your little dress and your little comfort for the rain? Look at you. You are walking away. Look at you. Look at you. If God wants it to rain, it will rain. If he doesn't want it to rain, it will not rain. Maybe he's even testing you with what I'm preaching about. To see how many of you will say, you know what, man? Looks like it's going to rain. Let me go. I mean, people in the presence of God, you can choose your comfort above a little suffering. And that is the foundation of Christianity. If you cannot suffer, if you cannot give up your comfort zone, if you cannot give up something for God, it's going to be very serious. You can't do anything. You can't achieve much. So the Antichrist or anti-God is somebody who stands against you and what you want to do for God. For example, if you take Adolf Hitler, Hitler was somebody who operated like an Antichrist. Because what Hitler did, for all those of us who know, Hitler came, he killed 6 million Jews. Jews are the people of God. Jews are like Christians. So anybody who will come and kill Jews of that magnitude, of that number, means that there's somebody. Hitler really hated Jews. It takes the spirit that hates God, the devil himself, for such a thing to happen. The church no more wants to sacrifice. The church doesn't want to go out of its way. Now, you can't talk about money. You can't talk about time. People love churches. When you go to church, 1 hour, then you go back home. Short service. You go to church, and then quickly you go home. You go to church, quickly you go home. People don't want to stay in church. People don't want to do anything. Come and let's go and talk to people about God. You don't want to come? When you get a child with your boyfriend, you want the child to be prayed for. Your eyes, your face, and your nose. When Jesus was going to die, he was talking to his disciples about death. Then the Bible says that Peter said, no way. He said, no way. You will not die. You can't die. What did Jesus tell Peter? Jesus said, Satan, get thee behind me. Because Jesus knew that it wasn't Peter, his beloved disciple, who was trying to talk to him. But there's this spirit, the spirit of the devil, the spirit called anti-God and anti-Christ. It is that spirit that prevents you and I from going all out. It almost makes it very funny when you want to go all out for God. You look different. You look weird. They think you are fanatic. They think, you know, you're taking this thing too far. You're doing this thing too much. It's too, well, I mean, why this? Why can we not just have something like this? We'll be here. Sometimes we go home 2 a.m. right from the time. We'll be here doing this. In fact, we left here around 4 a.m. this morning because we were trying to sort out some problems with the sound. Sleep? What is sleep? When you die, you'll sleep for a long time. But some people can't even give up sleep for anything. When Jesus was going to die for you and I, it was the devil that said, no, you are not going to die. And Jesus Jesus knew the voice of the devil. Jesus knew the type of spirit that prevents the sacrifices, the anti-sacrifice spirit. And therefore, he addressed the devil. It was the same devil. If you look at Judas Iscariot, he was the one. Jesus said, have I not chosen all of you, but one is the devil? Do you remember Jesus said that? He said, I've chosen all of you, but one is the devil. It was that same one who is a devil when a woman came into that house and came to worship Jesus and poured her alabaster box of ointment and washed his feet and wiped his feet with his hair. It was that same one devil who said, why are you wasting this? This ointment is so costly. Why are you giving this money to the church? How can you give $5,000? You heard good? You heard good? You heard good? Why are you giving this to the pastor? Why are you doing this? People are filled with devils who fight against your sacrifice. You want to do something for God. You want to do something further for God. But the spirit is around, ladies and gentlemen. Let us not give up. Let us not give ourselves to the spirit that fights our sacrifices. If Jesus could die for you and I, what can you not do? It's the same devil that said, this thing is a waste. There's nothing that you do for God that is waste. I said, there's nothing that you do for the church that is wasteful. There's nothing that you do for the man of God that is wasteful. The Bible said, God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. God sees everything you do. In fact, the Bible says that God sees the things you even do without people seeing it. Because the God who sees in secret, the Bible says he will reward you openly. When Jesus came, the devil knew Jesus' mandate. So right from a child, he wanted to take him out. When the wise men were looking for Jesus and they got lost, they went into Herod's palace and they spoke to Herod about the child that is born, the king that is born. Herod wasn't happy. We all know the story. Herod sent them, go and look for the baby. When you find the baby, and let me know so that I'll also come and worship the baby. When Herod realized that the people did not come back, he decided to kill every child 3 years and below. Again, the devil knew that if he was going to allow this child to grow up, he was going to come and do something that is so costly. Because you see, one thing that makes sacrifice so important is that when you sacrifice, you become more powerful. If you cannot sacrifice, you are not looking for more power. You can't stop eating. You cannot just skip breakfast, skip lunch, and pray. You are not going to be a powerful Christian. Sometimes people don't have money for care. They can't walk to church. They can't walk. But I'm sure you have walked before with your boyfriend. You were just walking before you realized you were at Regent Street. Even Bobby's. I know one of my young boys who was chasing a girl, who was hustling a girl over the river. A red girl. This boy will leave where he lives and go over the river with a bicycle. To go over the river to look for this little red girl. For sacrifice, you see, and when, of course, when the girl realizes that you have come from such a far place, wouldn't she know? Would she not feel very nice? Yes, because you have sacrificed something, you have given up something, you have gone a long way to come and see her, make her feel special, and make her feel nice. When you sacrifice, you receive power. When you sacrifice, you get power.
When you sacrifice, you become stronger. God wants us to become stronger Christians. And that is why he's encouraging us that this fight, this Christian race, is not a simple race. If you want to follow me, you need power. And the power will come when you begin to sacrifice for me. When you begin to give up some little things for me. Little comfort. Little comfortable things. If you begin to do that, you are going to become one of the powerful and strong Christians ever. So when Herod realized that a king was coming and that Satan knew that this king was going to grow one day and going to come and disgrace him, he decided to kill all the children. We all know the story. By the grace of God, it didn't work. Then another time came when Jesus, he went to he went on into the wilderness to fast and pray. The Bible says that the devil appeared to him. Again, the devil. And he said, if you bow down to me, I know you have come to save the world. I understand that. It's not a problem for me. I took it from Adam, and I've seen that you've been very jealous about this thing for many, many, many years. You know, I know you can beat me, so you are trying to come here to come and take it. He said, I want to give it. I mean, I don't want to fight. I don't want to fight. I want to, you know, I don't like fight. When I see you, I respect you. I don't want to fight you. So all that you have to do is that just bow down. Once you bow down, I ain't able to fight. I'm not going to prove it difficult. Just go down on your knees. And the world that you came to save, because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So his son was given to the world to save the world. And the devil knew that if Jesus was going to die, it would have been of a larger and a bigger impact and influence. So he wanted to stop that. He wanted to stop the sacrifice. He said, all that you have to do is just go down on your knees and I'll give the world to you. That is how the devil deals with Christians. He's always finding simpler ways, easy ways, alternatives, substitutes. Instead of going this way, no, let me do it this way. Let me take it this way. I can't go this way. Let me take it this way. I can't go Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and go Good Friday. Let me just go Good Friday. At least let me show my face. I was there anyway. But God is calling the church back to sacrifice. Ladies and gentlemen, God is calling his church back to sacrifice, to the place where we will give up our comfort zone, we'll give up our money, we'll give up our time, we'll give up our energy for the things of God. The Bible says that, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. The Bible says it is your reasonable service. It is our reasonable service. It is just reasonable to just, you see, even this, you realize that this sacrifice that Romans is talking about is a sacrifice that is daily, a sacrifice that is continuous. And if we cannot sacrifice every Sunday, if we cannot sacrifice every Tuesday, if we cannot sacrifice in the season of Easter and do something for God, then this daily sacrifice, we will never be able to do it. I mean, I can tell you that as you sacrifice bit by bit, day after day, today, 2 days, 1 week, you even get into the mood of sacrificing. And as you get into the mood, you get comfortable with sacrificing. You see how the devil will be afraid of you. Jesus has been giving a name that is exalted above every name. Not because he's Jesus, because the Bible says that he gave up his himself. He died on the cross. He became obedient unto death. It is that which made God exalt him and has given him a name above every name. If the devil is going to be afraid of you, if your neighbors are going to be afraid of you, if your boss is going to be afraid of you, it is going to be because of the sacrifices. Not the compromises, not the compromises, but the sacrifices. When we sacrifice, it releases power. When we sacrifice, it brings us close to the place where God wants us to be. It took the Israelites' sacrifice to break out. You see, it took them to slaughter a lamb of the first year to use the blood. That is what actually broke them through the night when the spirit of death went through the land of Egypt. They had to go far. They had to take their things and walk far. If you want to go to the promised land, you need to go far. The promised land is far. It's far. It's not close. To be a strong Christian, you have to do some things. You have to give up some things. You have to fortify yourself. You have to give up some comfort. You have to give up some time. You have to give up some energy. You have to give some time. You cannot serve God just the way you are, at your convenience, when you feel, when you like, when you want, what you do, and all of that. God wants everything of you. He wants the best out of you. He wants to see, what can you give? What will you give? And what are you prepared to give for Him? And until he sees that, there's a certain power, there's a certain glory, and a certain grace that will not be made available unto you. Stand to your feet, if you will. Hallelujah.
I've not been preaching long at all, so if you know me, I like preaching. We're going to have communion. I hope you can see your wine. Did you bring your wine and your bread? Okay. Hallelujah. Now, before we go on to the communion, I want to pray for you. If you don't know Jesus, you are here tonight, you are not saved. All that God is asking you is for your heart. Just your heart. He said, give Him your heart. Love the Lord. The Lord your God with all your heart. That's all he's asking of you. Just a small part of your body. The rest you can give it to anyone. All he's asking is that small heart within your chest that beats, that keeps you running. God says, give me space in that place and I will change your life. You're here tonight. You're not saved. You're not born again. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. Before I pray for the miracles, before I pray for healing, before we even eat the bread and drink the wine, the body and the blood of Jesus, you must be born again. You must give your life to Christ. You must give your life to Christ. You must begin to take God seriously. You are here like that. You are not born again. You are not saved. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you are here like that, just lift up your right hand. I want to pray with you. Just your right hand, wherever you are. If you are here, you want to give your heart to Jesus. We want to pray. We want to eat the bread. We want to drink the wine. I hope you brought yours. You have your wine. You have your bread. Bake well. It will turn into the body of Jesus. Don't worry. If you own living bread from the house, it's better. But if you don't have it, bake well. Pearl Grahams, they can turn right now into the body of Jesus. You are not saved tonight. Before we go forward, I want to pray with you. You want to give your heart to Jesus. If you are here like that, just your right hand up high. Your right hand. Pastor, please, I see that hand. Okay, I see a hand at the back there. If you lifted up your hand, to make it a little easier for me, can you walk to the front, please? Please come to the front. You lifted up your hand. I want to give your heart to Jesus. Come to the front. Come. Come. Come to the front. Come to the front. Clap for them as they come.
To Jesus,
come to the front.
Let Him have.
Come to the front. Oh, clap for them as they come. You want to give your heart to Jesus tonight?
Come on to Jesus.
Clap for them as they come. Give your heart to Jesus.
Give Him your.
He sacrificed His life for you.
Today.
Why would you not sacrifice yourself for Him too?
Come on.
Wow, God bless you.
To Jesus.
God bless you. Let Him have His way.
Let Him have His way.
God bless you. You want to come? Come quickly. We want to pray.
I know God is giving us time. By the time we finish and we leave, then it will rain. Oh, come to Jesus tonight. Come for them as they come.
Give him your life today. Come on to Jesus.
Come on to Jesus tonight.
Let him have his way.
All right, those that are in front, it's just a simple prayer. You just have to repeat the prayer after me. Your life will never be the same again. The Bible says you believe with your heart and then you confess with your mouth and you'll be saved. For it is with the heart that we believe and with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. So close your eyes with me and pray this prayer after me. Church, join me as we pray together. Say with me, dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
I am a sinner.
I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins.
Wash me with your precious blood.
I believe with my heart.
And I confess with my mouth.
That Jesus died for me.
I believe Jesus rose again on the third day.
And I believe Jesus is alive right now.
I open my heart.
And I invite Jesus Christ
to come and live in my heart.
To be my master and my savior.
I believe
that after this prayer,
that my name is written in the book of life.
That by this prayer, I am saved from hell.
By this prayer,
I am born again.
My name is written
in the book of life.
Thank you, Father.
For saving my soul.
From today,
I will not serve the devil anymore.
From today,
I belong to Jesus.
I will walk with Jesus.
I will follow Jesus.
I will sacrifice for Jesus
for the rest of my days.
Thank you, Father.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-231-0077 or email us at lciguyana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguyana.org. God richly bless you.